Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network, as the Pirates have still not lost a game. Just want to let you guys know that we're at 11 games now. Pirates have not lost a game. So just a little heads up on what you're going to see here in a minute with the when we go do the game coverage. We'll start that right about now. Actually, the Pirates quickly, and I'm getting my, as I get my notes ready to go for you to give the game summaries, but the Pirates still not lost a game. They are, have won 11 games in a row coming up. Starting on the other side of the All-Star break as well. Obviously that five game sweep of the Brewers is going to be a big help, for them for sure, because I mean, That's a tough team. That's a team in the top of the division, or was at least, and they can make some ground on them right now. I mean, the Pirates, as far as it goes in the NL Central, are six games back after winning 11 in a row. Still six games back. That's how they went from seven games under 500 to four games over 500. That's what happens. That's what happened. I mean, I would say, it happened in a week and a half. No, actually, it happened in like 2-3 weeks because of the All-Star break in the middle there. But to be able to go, roll in, you think, oh, dang, we're going to hit the All-Star break. We're on fire right now. We've won, how many games? Well, they played four since the game break, so seven. They went seven in a row going into the All-Star break, and like, damn. And they win four more in a row after that, after the All-Star break, just picking up. And they kick the crud out of a division-leading team. I mean, it is a team that's a little reeling right now, the Indians, but they beat them down last night. They beat them down. They've also hit 31 homers, 31 home runs. In this month, they hit 15 last year, or 17 last month, I think, was what's good for last in the National League in home runs as a team in a month. They're in first. They're in first by a lot. 20 games in, they're 31 homers. Starling Marte and Gregory Polanco have just gone on an absolute tear, and there's other guys falling behind them. So without further ado, let's go back to Monday and cover the games for you as we always do. Starting off in Baltimore, the Orioles and the Red Sox got a series started on Mondays. The Red Sox got the win 5-3. In this one, they were up actually 5-0 most of the game. The Orioles tried to scratch across some runs. They did get three runs in the eighth, and then they got two in the eighth, one in the ninth to make it interesting, but that's all they could muster. Home runs in this game came from Jonathan Scope, his 13th of the year for the Red Sox. Mitch Moreland hit his 12th. Rick Porcello was very, very good as he went six shutout innings, six hits, one walk, six strikeouts for the Red Sox right-hander as he goes to 12-4. They need to get him hot. He needs to be hot. He needs to be rolling because he's the only right-handed arm in that rotation that's going to get in the bolt to get, that's going to get in the playoffs, because you only need three starters. You're going to have Price, Sale, and him. I mean, actually, that's the thing. If you're David, this is actually, I know it's 25th of June, July, maybe way too early to talk about this, but if you're Alex Cora, you can go back to 2008, his rookie season, 10 years ago, and look at how effective David Price was out of the bullpen for the Rays. against the, in their playoff run to get to the World Series, and he pitched in the World Series too, and they lost the World Series and the point. But David Price is effective out of the bullpen. I know he's getting paid a lot of money and such, but if they, say they miss on, well, they didn't get Britton, they didn't get Brad Hand. I'm still trying to think of a left-handed reliever that they are going to maybe make an offer for around the league. I'm trying to think of something right off the top of my head, but I can't, honestly. A left-handed reliever that they're going to pick up off the top of my head. Everybody's kind of taken up right now. Tony Watts is in San Francisco. I don't think Joe Jimenez is left-handed. If he is, then there you go. Joe Jimenez from the Tigers. But they need a left-handed reliever that's going to be a stopper. And if you want to run with Porcello and maybe Eduardo Rodriguez or Drew Palmer, I think it's Eduardo Rodriguez is left-handed. They have four lefties in their rotation. If it's Sale, Price, Porcello, Rodriguez, Pomerantz, four of the five guys are left-handed. And I don't know, but you only need three of them. So you can do Porcello and Sale, and then one of those other three. I mean, probably just because of the salary you put David Price, but I think that he's maybe more effective out of the bullpen. And Eduardo Rodriguez has been pitching so well that you can't. I mean, it's tough to take him out of the rotation. I think he's more effective as a starter in the long run in the playoffs than David Price is more effective in the short term. But I mean, I'm not Alex Cora. I'm not the manager of the Red Sox. I'm just here just thinking about things. And David Price, if he gets hot in September, then he'll, I'm not, this my little notion here will just go by the wayside, but it's an idea. He's done it before, did it at the beginning of his career, and he's definitely capable of coming in short relief and or maybe even in long relief. You see what the Giants did with Tim Lincecum. I know he was a little bit more scorned because of his performance in the season, and they didn't really need him in the rotation, but he went to the bullpen and he performed. He was one of the best pitchers they had in 2012. Saved the playoffs for him like three different times. That's why they won six elimination, actually they played, yeah, seven, six elimination games in that playoff. So I mean, yeah, have fun with that. All right, next game. Dodgers beat the Phillies 7-6 on Monday as they got two runs in the top of the ninth inning to extend their lead out a little bit. And then the Phillies tried to come back. It was 7-5. They broke the tie in the top of the ninth inning, at least. Phillies tried to come back a little bit, and they could, but they could not. The game was broken open by Matt Kemp single and a Yasmani Grandal or a wild pitch, actually, to make it. Actually, wait, hold on. It was, am I reading this? Yeah, that was to make it 6-5, and then to make it 7-5, Matt Kemp made it 6. I'm like reading, like, why are my scores messing up here? Michael Franco added a home run, his 15th, to make it 7-6. Other home runs in this game came from, actually, Franco hit two. He hit his 14th and his 15th. Reese Hoskins hit his 17th, and then Odubel Herrera hit his 18th of the year for the Dodgers. They got a home run from Max Muncy, what's new, his 23rd. Yasmani Grandal hit his 14th. He's been on fire. Chris Taylor hit his 12th, and Jock Peterson hit his 14th in the win for the Dodgers as they got long balls going that one. Ross Stripling was the starter. Didn't get a decision. He went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 5 runs on 7 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts, 3 homers allowed. In Toronto, the Twins beat the Blue Jays 8-3 as they get 2 runs in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th, and 3 in the 5th. So that's how you score 8 runs right there. I mean, they got 1 in the 1st to get their 8th run. But, yeah, they definitely hitting up on that starter for the Blue Jays in the bullpen as well. Home runs for the Twins came from Logan Morrison, his 12th. Max Kepler, his 13th. For the Blue Jays, they got a home run from Gurriel Jr., his 5th of the season for the Blue Jays. That's their young shortstop. For them, Lourdes Gurriel. As there's another Gurriel, there's Yuli Gurriel down in Houston. In Miami, the Braves shellack the Marlins 12-1. They bring the bats out there as they scored in every inning except for the 4th and the 5th. But they scored a pretty even attack there for the Braves. As they got a nice start from Sean Newcomb. He went six innings, 1 run allowed, 4 hits, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. Just the homer allowed to Justin Bour, his 16th of the season. For the Braves, they got a home run from Freddie Freeman, his 17th, and Dansby Swanson, his 8th of the season for Atlanta. in Tampa Bay. The Rays win. The Rays beat the Yankees 7-6. They have the their number. Didn't they sweep them earlier in the year when they came, when the Yankees went down to the drop? I'm pretty sure they did. But this was a game where we might have to talk about it a little bit later when we go over the Yankees stuff. But Gary Sanchez did not come out of this game looking very good at all. As the Rays were able to score in a couple of weird situations as well, due to some issues with Gary Sanchez. I mean, one was, I think, a pass ball that got by him, and he didn't really run after it, and then didn't score. And then the last out of the game, actually, the Yankees had the bases loaded with Sanchez up, and he had a ball up the middle that looked like it was headed for center field. It was grabbed by the shortstop, or the second baseman, sorry. The second baseman grabbed it. Robertson flipped it to the shortstop to try and get the force out at second, and it wasn't in time. It was safe, but then Sanchez was kind of dogging it up the first baseline once he saw that the ball was going to get fielded, and the shortstop was able to throw him out at first base in the game. If he runs hard on the line, easily could have beat that out. The game would have been tied 7-7 because the runner from third would have scored, but he got thrown out. That was the third out of the inning, and that was the end of the game. So, Gary Sanchez maybe got a little fine in kangaroo court coming for him for two plays with lack of hustle in that game. But home runs came from, actually, Luis Severino was the starter for the Yankees in this one. He actually got tagged for six earnings, seven total in five innings pitch, 11 hits. He did have eight strikeouts, so give up a couple homers. One was to Bowers, his sixth. The other one to Robertson, the second baseman, his ninth. He's been the one stalwart. All the Yankee starters have been kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. I know in a moment we're going to go, well, next, when we get to Tuesday, you'll be like, oh, there's this good start. Yeah, because Tanaka threw a shutout, we know. But we're going to get there, and my comments on the old Yankees and their outlook. All right. I think that the... so this is actually... The Pirates, actually, they won five... Well, they won six before the All-Star break. They've won five since, because they played Monday and Tuesday, so they won today and yesterday. They won yesterday and the day before, but they actually beat the Pirates. They beat the Indians 7-0 in a rain-shortened game. You have to play five innings for it to be considered an official game in the major leagues, and they played six in Cleveland before it was called due to rain. The Pirates beat up on Corey Kluber early in this game. So they got four runs in the second inning, as Kluber was tagged for actually only three earnings, seven total, as a big error by Yonder Alonso led to a bunch of runs that was probably why those are all four unearned runs. But for this one, home runs for the Pirates came from Josh Harrison, his fifth of the season, as they got a nice start from Trevor Williams. He went six innings, no runs allowed, four hits, two walks, one strikeout, and he got his eighth win of the season. In New York, the Padres and the Mets played, and the Padres won 3-2 as Joey Lucchesi beat Jacob deGrom, actually. Lucchesi gets his fifth win of the season as he went five and a third innings, two runs allowed, six hits, no walks, six strikeouts, as the bullpen was great for the Padres. The Mets could not back up their ace. I mean, DeGrom went eight innings, two runs, three total, as he didn't have one unearned run. That was probably the one that did him in. Five hits, two walks, 10 strikeouts as he takes the loss. He's now 5-5 on the season with a 1.71 ERA on the year. Did not get a home run in this game, as it was a low-scoring affair in Flushing. The Reds beat the Cardinals again, this time in Cincinnati on a low-scoring affair, a walk-off win for the Reds. They win 2-1 as they got two runs in the bottom of the ninth inning, actually, to win that game. They were down 1-0 after the Redbirds, the Cardinals, took a lead with a Yadier Molina single. But an Eugenio Suarez home run in the ninth tied it, and a Dilson Herrera single later in the inning won it for the Reds, as they got a nice start from Luis Castillo. He gets no decision, though. Five and a third innings, one run allowed, four hits, one walk, five strikeouts for the Reds' young bullet thrower there, Castillo. As actually, the Cardinals, this is a great story. Unfortunately, the Cardinals did not get the win here, but their starter, we talked about it a little bit on Monday when I was giving you the probables for the games, but Daniel Ponce de Leon was the starter for the Cardinals on Monday. And this is a guy who 15 months ago was having brain surgery because he took a line drive to his head at, in a AAA game. So you got to hand it to the kid to come back, and they pitch well. And this is his line: 7 innings, no runs, no hits, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts on 116 pitches, which is probably why he only lasted 7 innings. But what a performance by a kid that has had a long, long journey back, whose, I'm sure, life was in the balance, and you're undergoing brain surgery. There's complications, there's risks, everything involved, and he's made his way all the way back to the major leagues. You can compare and you can say, oh, there's more stories. There is another story. Chad Bettis of the Rockies, this guy, I mean, he had cancer, came all the way back from cancer to pitch in the major leagues. So, I mean, two guys here where you have to just absolute tip your cap, give them the most praise as possible, because you can get down on yourself. There's guys who get shoulder injuries and knee injuries, and just over and over again, they have doubt in their heads, and they retire early, or they just fizzle out of the game, kind of. This is a guy who took a line drive off of his head, had to get surgery to reduce swelling in his skull, and then comes all the way back to pitch again, and to get back up on the mound, and to, I mean, you could say put himself back at risk, but I mean, those Kings are pretty fluky, but it is a great sight to see, and the fact that he pitched so well is another thing, as just a cherry on top, really. I mean, the fact that he got on the mound in a major league uniform, in a major league ballpark, in a major league game, is amazing, and the fact that he went 7 innings of no hit ball is very cool. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back, finish up Monday, and then do Tuesday's games for you, and then we'll talk Pirates and their streak, Yankees, what they've done, also made a move yesterday. We'll talk about that, and then we'll, of course, talk about the NL West races. We're going to go I'm pretty much going to bounce around different divisions. I mean, I know the American League has kind of decided, especially out West. Well, I mean, the West actually might get a little interesting if the A's continue to play the way they are. And then the East as well can be kind of interesting. Red Sox and Yankees going at it. Of course, they still have, I think, 9 more games head-to-head to play against each other. So we'll do the NL West today. So that's getting even more interesting. 4 teams involved, all fighting for one spot, and then maybe one wild card spot as well. So we'll come back after the break. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast. We're going to finish up the games from Monday as we'll go over to Chicago. Again, it's got to give more kudos to Daniel Ponce de Leon. What a performance on Monday. I was really excited when I heard about when I heard that he had done that, what he did, obviously knowing where he came from, but and the situation that he had to deal with the last year and the year before and all of his journey back is great. But yeah, to be able to pitch it like that is just, and like I said, a cherry on top, and it makes you shake your head and makes you think, wow, just wow, wow, wow. You can get really speechless, which I can't do. So I'm moving on to the next game. So in Chicago, the Diamondbacks beat the Cubs 7-1 as they scored 5 runs in the first inning to really set the tone there. Farrell for the Cubs, the young right-hander. Luke Farrell was the starter as he only lasted 3 1/3 innings, gave up 6 runs on 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to Paul Goldschmidt, his 22nd of the season for the Cubs. So, yeah, they actually allowed Anthony Rizzo actually came in at the end of that game. They had Caratini pitch for an inning. He gave up actually just 1 hit. That's their catcher, first baseman, outfielder. Utility guy Victor Caratini pitched for an inning, and then they let Anthony Rizzo get 1 out. He pitched to 1 guy and got 1 out. His ERA is a 0.00. So that's pretty cool for Anthony Rizzo. Been begging Joe Maddon to let him pitch, but they dropped that one 7-1 in Chicago. In Texas, the A's beat up on the Rangers. The A's, watch out. They're never out of the game. We'll get to it in a moment when we do Tuesday's games. But if you don't know what happened on Tuesday, just wait, sit and wait. We'll go through the Monday's game first, as they won 15-3 in Texas. 5 runs in the second, 6 more runs in the seventh, with a couple other innings with 2 runs. But I mean, that's how you score 15 right there. Big innings. They got we'll go to the Rangers first, but the Rangers got a home run from Elvis Andrews, his 3rd of the season. Cole Hamels, his audition for a trade maybe not looking that good. The Rangers probably like, we wanted you to pitch a little better so we can get some prospects for you, but I guess maybe not now, as he gave up 7 runs over 5 innings of work. The A's had Brett Anderson going. He went 6 innings, 2 runs allowed, 6 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, just a home run to Elvis Andrews. That was the blemish. It was a 2-run shot, and that was pretty much it. For the A's, they got a home run from Jonathan Lucroy, just his 2nd of the season. Stephen Piscotty hit his 13th. Matt Chapman, his 11th. And Chris Davis, his 24th home run of the season, as he continues to hit the long ball efficiently for the A's, as they move now to 58. And, well, I mean, that's, yeah, so I'm assuming, I mean, we'll go over the records after tomorrow, yesterday's game. So just hold tight. A couple more for Monday. Brewers beat the Nationals 6-1. Yulis Chacin gets his 9th win of the season. He's pitched very nicely. He'll need to really step it up for the Brewers due to the fact that one of their big starters, Brent Suter, is going to be done for the season and lost for probably a while into the next season as well, because he's going to be going under the knife and getting Tommy John surgery, as he had a UCL strain. All right, but Milwaukee, they get the win anyways, 6-1 at home against the Nationals. Chacin went 5 2/3 innings, 1 run allowed, 2 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts for him, just a homer, and that was a home run by Daniel Murphy, his 2nd of the season. The Brewers got a home run. Actually, no, they didn't. Wow, surprising. I swear I saw a home run there, but they got a triple and a double. Yelich was still doing pretty good. He had 3 RBIs in that game on Monday as well, as they had a pretty balanced attack there at home. In Kansas City, the Tigers beat the Royals 5-4, as the Royals gave up, the Tigers scored 3 runs in the top of the 9th inning to take the lead there, and escape off a defeat, I guess. I mean, you'd guess, as they got a home run to cap that one off by James McCann to make it 5-4, 2-run shot. So they were trailing, actually, or... yeah, they had to be trailing. They were down 4. If they were down 4-3, 2-run shot makes it 5-4. So I don't know why it's saying, the scores are all messed up on my thing here, but it's okay. We know what's happening. 5-4 win, as that was the. Give you the home runs here really quick, as we Tigers. That was the. Where's the home run at the end of the game? Oh, it was a double. James McCann. I swear he hit a home run, but he hit a double. It was a solo. That's why it said 5-4. Well, I took the lead with a double. I swear it said homer. No homers in the game. I'm just getting too homer happy in this one. All right, 5-4. Two bottom feeder teams. No offense, but that's the case in the American League these days. In Atlanta, the final game of Tuesday. Finally, the White Sox beat the Angels. Sorry, Monday. The White Sox beat the Angels 5-3 on Monday, as the Angels continue to. Dwindle away, as the Ohtani show. I mean, I think somebody hit a home run eventually, one of these days. But the White Sox got a home run from Jose Abreu, his 14th, and I'm pretty sure Ohtani went deep. Yes, his 8th home run of the year for the Angels on Monday in the loss, but he hit his 8th home run of the year. All right, that'll wrap it up for Monday. Now to Tuesday's games. Giants and Mariners had their first game of their little 2-game series up in Seattle. Giants win 4-3. They got a run in the top of the 9th inning to take the lead for the 4th time in that game, actually. They had a 1-0 lead, a 2-1 lead, and a 3-2 lead. They all allowed the Mariners to come back and tie, but never take the lead, as the Giants were able to keep it tied until the 9th and then win it. With that, a weird play, actually. Pablo Sandoval hit a bouncing ball. They didn't even get out of the infield grass. But with those shifts, the shifts come back to bite you. D. Gordon had to run all the way out from right field to get that ball. And then he tried to barehand it and throw Pablo out, and he threw it away. And the runner from second scored. So that's how it works. Giants win there. Home run came from Hunter Pence, his 1st of the season for the Giants. And then Heredia for the Mariners hit his 3rd of the season. In that one as well. In Miami, the Marlins beat the Braves 9-3. Yuan Chen was very good. He got just his third win of the year, but he was pretty good. Getting the win. Six innings, three runs allowed, five hits, three walks, four strikeouts, just a homer allowed. That was to Johan Camargo, his 10th of the season. For the Marlins, they got a home run from JT Realmuto, his 13th, and Starlin Castro, a three-run shot to kind of blow that game open. That was his 8th. In Baltimore, the Orioles beat the Red Sox. Wow. A 29. Look at these records. The Orioles are 29-73. The Red Sox are 71-32. Wow. That's crazy. Well, the Orioles won on Tuesday as the Red Sox tried to come back a little bit. They were trailing 7-3. They scored 2 in the 8th and 1 in the 9th, but could not get the 7th run to tie that game up. Home runs came from Jonathan Scope, his 14th. Tim Beckham, his 4th of the season for the Orioles. As Yeffrey Ramirez gets his first win of the year, as he went 5 innings, 3 runs allowed, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. He did give up 3 home runs, but got the win. Red Sox got 2 home runs from J.D. Martinez, his 30th and his 31st of the season. And then Sweetheart hit his 1st of the season, and then Mookie Betts his 24th of the season for the Red Sox. As you said, Blake Sweetheart hit his 1st, and the other two guys hitting their 31st, 30th, and 24th. There you go. Baseball for you. Phillies beat the Dodgers on a walk-off. This game went 16 innings. It was a game in Philadelphia, and it was the last game on. Everything else was done. All the West Coast games were over. Everything was done, and the Phillies and Dodgers were still playing, and the Dodgers actually ran out of pitching. They ran out of pitchers, and they had to throw out Kiki Hernandez in that 16th inning to pitch. I mean, the Phillies actually gave the ball to Vince Velasquez to pitch the top half of that 16th inning, and he got the win. He gave up a hit and a walk, but he struck out one in that inning of work to get the win. But the Dodgers had to throw out Kiki Hernandez. He got one out, but then walked two and gave up a home run to Trevor Plouffe to win that game, as Plouffe kind of just flipped one over the... He finally got a pitch up. It was funny watching it because he wasn't really throwing many strikes, but then he finally got a pitch up like at 78, basically batting practice, and Plouffe just flipped it over the right field wall opposite field. And you see Cody Bellinger's like, game's over. So home runs in this game also came from Nick Williams, his 12th, and Jorge Alfaro, the big one, in the 7th inning to tie the game. That was his 7th. Plouffe, that was just his 1st of the year for the Phillies. Home runs for the Dodgers. Yasmani Grandal hit 2 more, his 15th and his 16th of the season. In Toronto, the Blue Jays drop one to the Twins. They get shut out as Jose Barrios was excellent. 5-0 was the final as Barrios goes 7 shutout innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. He's 10-7 now. He's been excellent this year. Home run came from Eduardo Escobar, his 15th of the season for the Twins. In Tampa Bay, the Rays dropped this one as the Yankees shut them out 4-0. Like I said, Masahiro Tanaka, earlier, he went was excellent in this one. 9 innings, a shutout ball, so a complete game shutout for him. 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, as that was a career start there for Tanaka. Got a nice hug from his catcher, Austin Romine, after that one, as they get the win 4-0. No homers in this game, just a couple of doubles for the Yankees as they got single runs in the 1st, 5th, 7th, and 9th to make it 4-0. Pirates beat the Indians again as they got 2 in the 1st and 5 in the 2nd. They're scoring early and they're scoring often there, the Pirates are, as they got Joe Musgrove backed up easily as they beat up on Shane Bieber, who only lasted an inning and a third. But Musgrove went 7 innings, 2 runs allowed, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, just a homer allowed. And this one, that was to Edwin Encarnacion, his 23rd. Brendan Guyer hit his 4th of the season as well for the Indians. Pirates got a home run from Starling Marte, his 16th. And Gregory Polanco, his 18th. Also, Josh Bell went deep, his 6th of the season. Mets beat the Padres 6-3 in New York as Zach Wheeler gets his 4th win of the season. It was very good in his audition to maybe get traded this season within the next few days. He went 7 innings, 2 runs allowed, 4 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts for Wheeler. as Michael Conforto added a home run, his 13th of the season, no homers for the Padres. In Cincinnati, the Cardinals beat the Reds 4-2 in extra innings. It took 11 innings to do this, as the Reds tied it up in the bottom of the seventh inning to make it 2-2 before the Cardinals were able to break that tie in extras. Home runs came from Eugenio Suarez, his 21st of the season. The Cardinals got a home run from Dexter Fowler, his 8th. That was the two-run shot to put them up in the 11th. The Diamondbacks beat the Cubs again 5-1. Clay Buchholz was excellent for the Diamondbacks in this one, as he went 6 2/3 innings, one run allowed, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was just the one to Jason Hayward, his 7th of the season. The D-backs did not hit a homer in this one, but they get another win on the north side. Then the game of the day was in Texas. The Rangers had a 10-2 lead over the A's, as they had a 10-2 lead, and the A's scored 3 in the 7th, 4 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th to tie it, and then 3 in the 10th to take the lead there, as they got home runs in this one, a bunch of them for the A's. Mark Canna hit his 13th early in that game. Jed Lowry also early in the game was his 17th. Stephen Piscotty tied it in the 9th with a home run, his 14th. And then Chris Davis hit a three-run shot in the 10th inning to make it 13-10 A's, as they get the win there. Wow. We're going to cut it really quickly here. I'll finish off the games from Tuesday on the other side of the break. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast. Taking a little bit longer to do the game coverage because I'm kind of giving you little anecdotes in the middle of these. Not going as fast as I usually go, so we're kind of mixing up today a little bit, getting some talk as we go along with these scores. So kind of things come up in your head. You got to do things. I do want to give you the home runs for the Rangers. They actually have one of their better prospects, Willie Calhoun, came up and he hit his first homer of the season. Joey Gallo also hit his 25th, and Elvis Andrus hit his 4th, a grand slam. You think when you hit a grand slam, you're going to win, but the bullpen was not nice to the Rangers, as Jake Diekman, actually one of their top relievers, was responsible for giving up three earned, 4 total actually for Diekman, and he only got 1 out in that game. All right, Brewers and the Nationals played in Milwaukee again, as the Brewers win 5-4 in walk-off fashion in the 10th inning, as they got a walk-off sacrifice fly from Tyler Saladino after they tied it up in the bottom of the 7th. So the Nationals still finding ways to lose, as they are now under 500 by a couple of games. They were actually on Monday. They're 49-51 now. Home runs in this game came from Christian Yelich, his 13th of the season for the Brewers. The Nationals got one from Adam Eaton, his 3rd of the season. And that was pretty much all the runs they scored. A 3-run shot for Eaton. They scored only one more in that game, and that was about it. All right, Tigers and Royals played again in Kansas City. The Royals win this one 5-4, as they got a run. Well, they got all the runs early. Detroit tried to come back in this one, as it was 5-0, actually. Tigers tried to come back, but could not. Mike Moustakas hit his 20th of the season for the Royals. Salvador Perez added his 15th. Tigers had one from Victor Martinez, his 5th of the season. And then in Colorado, the Astros beat the Rockies 8-2 in 10 innings. They scored 6 runs in the top of the 10th inning to really blow that one open. Alex Bregman hit his 21st of the season earlier in that game. Also for the Astros, they got a home run from George Springer, his 17th of the year in the 10th to really cap that that off. They got a good start from Gerrit Cole. He went six and a third innings, 2 runs allowed, 5 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, but obviously a new decision. And then the final game of Tuesday, White Sox and Angels. White Sox win 4-2. Again, as the Angels are now 50-52. Most underwhelming teams in the majors this year, Nationals and Angels. Again. I mean, it's just the same thing over and over again. For the Angels, they didn't get a homer. Yoan Moncada hit his 13th of the season for the White Sox. So, I mean, this is going to lead right into my talk. I mean, I don't want to bash the Angels anymore. We've done it enough on the show. We've done it a lot. Just questioning. Rob Manfred's more worried about Mike Trout's image. I'm more worried about Mike Trout's team and his success in actually getting to the playoffs and extending his talents into October. I mean, we've only been able to see Mike Trout in October one time. And I think they lost the ALDS that year, so which they seemingly do every year. If they miraculously make it to the playoffs. I mean, it's time for Mike Socha, I think, to go. I think it's time for some major overhaul in that team, maybe even in the front office. But that is, if you have the best player in the league, you go out and you make this great acquisition for Shohei Ohtani. First time that we're going to get a two-way player really like this since like Babe Ruth, honestly. And he sets the world on fire to be in the season. They start off super hot. They're like 13 games over 500 to start the season off. And then they realize they don't have the rotation. Because at best, Shohei pitches once a week. Every Sunday. Which is what he was doing for a little bit. And he was up and down, okay, like a 3-ish ERA, which is fine. Then he gets hurt. Now he's not pitching. Now you have a hole in rotation again because you have injuries with the other pitchers. And you're running Noah Syndergaard light out there with John Lamb or whatever. I think his name is John, but Lamb is his last name. But yeah, so you just... Is it their farm system? Do they give away too many pieces? Do they haven't really made any big trades lately to give away pieces? Do they not have that good of player development? Where are their top starters? Garrett Richards is not going to cut it. Tyler Skaggs has been okay, but he can't stay healthy. And that's about who else do they have? They have Shohei. He's not healthy. He can't pitch right now. Jaime Bardia actually has probably been one of their most surprising guys this year. He's pitched pretty well off and on, but... pitched decently well and been the only guy who's really been able to stick in that rotation ever since he was put in it. And they also have some other guy. I mean, Tropiano, I think, is another guy they throw in that rotation. But when you're in a division with the Houston Astros, who have Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander and Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers and Charlie Morton. Oh, yeah. By the way, the last guy I said, he was the all-star. Or one of them. and on that team, it's tough tiddly. Tough. You're not going to have much success. You're going to find yourself 2 games under 500 on July 25th. Because the A's are not going anywhere. The Mariners are not going anywhere. You're the worst team in the division. I mean, second worst team in the division. The Rangers still exist. It's just hilarious looking at the AL West and thinking that the Angels could do anything. All right, moving on. None with the Angels. Pirates. Pirates are 11 in a row. They're beating up on good teams. They swept the Brewers, basically knocked them out of first place. And it all stems from 3 guys. Josh Harrison, Starling Marte, and Gregory Polanco. They didn't trade them. They were like, oh, you're giving away our whole team. No, we give away 2 players that had a lot of value and were good trades, honestly. Gerrit Cole was a good trade. McCutcheon, I don't know how much they really got back from the Giants. Got Kyle Crick, I think. That's about it. But, that's not really a big deal. But the fact that they still are able to have a rotation like they do with Evan Nova and Joe Musgrove and Trevor Williams, who's pitched pretty well, and Obviously, you still have Jamison Tyone in there, who's been up and down, but the whole team, honestly, has been up and down. They were 70 games under 500 for a reason. They were under 500 by a lot for a reason. And obviously, going on a 11-game winning streak is not is no slouch whatsoever. It's a very, very good accomplishment, but there's a reason why after 60, 70 games, they're 70 games under 500. That's the roster that dictates that. When the roster gets hot, when you get Marte and Polanco and Harrison all hot at the same time, and you're pitching pretty good at the same time, and you're making plays like Joe Musgrove made yesterday, sliding for a chopper and being able to make a play off his back foot like that, you're going to win a bunch of games in a row. 11 is a lot, believe me. 5 would have been like, okay, good. But the fact that they're beating good teams, whether they're going to play spoiler or whether they're going to nudge themselves into the playoffs themselves or into the conversation, they've already done that, actually, when it comes to conversation. They're right now 3 games back in the wild card. There are 2 teams tied for that second wild card right now, the Braves and the Diamondbacks. The National League is going to be ridiculous because everybody's like, oh, the American League's going to just crush it in the playoffs. They're going to run away with it and everything. The American League are a bunch of front runners. Honestly, the best one is fortunately, the Yankees and the Red Sox have each other to keep the balance, the competitive balance a little bit. But the Indians, they're front running because they can play, put it basically sit in cruise control in that division and win it by 20 games still. The Astros, I mean, I wouldn't count on the Mariners really giving them that much of a run right now. What are they? They're 6 games back right now. I think that's pretty safe with the Astros. So they've been front running the whole time this season. But the National League have been battling. They've been grinding. They've been tooth and nail in it. There's teams that are going to get snubbed. There's teams that are going to get sneak into the playoffs. There's teams that are going to get in by 1-2 games in a lot of different divisions and a lot of different, even in the wild card. I mean, look at this. You have the Braves. So tell me this. The Braves, only 5 teams can make it, and 2 of them have to play each other. That's the thing. 5 teams make it. 2 teams play each other in a 1-game playoff. So right now you're looking at the Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers making it, which is that's okay. That's your big markets anyways. And then your wild card is the Brewers. They're a game and a half up, and then you basically have to decide. I mean, are we gonna count the Cardinals in it still? Are we counting the Nationals in it still? They're 6 games back. It does drop off after that. But the Rockies are 2 back. So basically, I think the Brewers are safe. I think the Brewers are making the playoffs. I don't see them really falling off all that much. They have a good, they're 13 games over 500 right now. That's fine. I think they're safe. But for that second wild card spot, you have, I mean, I know the National League West is still up for grabs. The Dodgers are, I mean, the Diamondbacks are only half game back for the Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. But so you have 4 teams there, right there. And then you have the Braves and the Cubs as well. Well, the Cubs are in first place. Yeah, I think we are starting to weed it out a little bit. I think the Giants are right on the edge of kind of being on the eh. The Cardinals, they fired their manager. I think they're around the edge of being eh. The Nationals, I think they're already done, honestly. They just have too many teams to leapfrog. The fact that the Pirates have won all those games have actually gotten them into that conversation where they're actually 3 games over. But that's an 11-game winning streak for you. That'll get you into they'll put your team basically up into that slot in the wild card. They were 7 games under 500 for a reason before the All-Star, like a few weeks before the All-Star break. So I think that they're going to go back down. So I'm not really worried about the Pirates per se. I'm more worried about, I mean, I know I can put my, Giants fan hat on for a second here just to give you some better perspective on teams in the playoffs. But as far as it goes right now, if I had to pick 5 teams, just had to, gun to my head, 5 teams, the division leaders right now are pretty solid. So I'd say Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers. Okay. Then if I really had to pick 2 teams for the division, I mean, for the wild card, I'd say Brewers and Braves. Because I think you want to say Brewers and Diamondbacks. I want to say Brewers and Giants. Honestly, even as a Giants fan, I don't think that they're there yet. They're still developing young players. Some older players are kind of phasing out. Hunter Pence still on that team is crazy. He did hit a home run yesterday, his first of the year. But whatever, that's a different story. But as it goes with a lot of things, there's a transition period, and there's having to the next man up. The Dodgers have been able to kind of be in this situation where they get it a guy. It's, is it going to be Peterson? Is it going to be Seager? Is it going to be Bellinger? Is it going to be Max Muncy? Every year. So it's when they get one every Puig every year. So it's something like that where the Dodgers are going to be in the conversation. Obviously, Dave Roberts like, oh, give us a few more months. We're going to be in first place. He was right. I have to hand it to Dave Roberts. He was not wrong there at all. All right. Briefly, though, before we go to the next segment, I wanted to touch on the Yankees and the fact that now their number one starter, Severino, has faltered against a Rays team. I mean, not everybody. You don't have it every day. Believe me. Even the top guys. Corey Kluber got beat up yesterday by the Pirates, or the day before by the Pirates. So, I mean, it's not every day, but just their Yankees. I think I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show as well. They just, I'm not enamored by the rotation. And they have 6 days to figure it out for non-waiver trade. They could always obviously make a trade. The player would have to go through waivers, like a Justin Verlander situation like we had last year. Got to say that clearly for you, or I'm going to slur my words, like we did have last year. So that's the situation there. All right, I can go through the games really quickly. We can take some time next segment to talk more about the Yankees, so we'll do that. Let's take a break really quick, and we'll come back and finish up the show with some Yankees talk, and then we'll do the games as well as we always do in the last segment. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast, the final segment of the day today here as we're going to finish up some talk on the Yankees. Also want to touch on the NL West. I mean, that's one of the divisions, I think, now where we're still four teams. I mean, the Nationals in their division, at least. They're kind of still in the talk with the wild card and everything, but in their division, they're now seven games out. Phillies and Braves don't have any signs of slowing down at all, as they're both playing pretty good ball with those young teams. I mean, both those teams are exciting. Both those teams. And I think that they both can make deep runs. Whoever wins the division obviously will have the upper hand because they don't have to play in the wild card game. But I think that the winner of that division can go the CS, the NLCS, and give the Cubs, the Dodgers a run for their money, or whoever makes it from the other divisions. We still don't know who it's going to be. And then even the Phillies, they have the pitching. You got to watch out. There are some teams out there in the National League who have the pitching to stand up some of these American League teams. You saw even in the All-Star game that the NL is no slouch when it comes to power either. They can hit the home runs. They can hit the long ball. They can go slugfest, and they can go pitcher's duel with you as much as you want. So the American League's going to run away. They're going to, whoever, it's going to be Yankees, Red Sox, or Astros, they're going to win the World Series. Believe me, the Giants, being a Giants fan, watching it in 2012, especially 2012, actually, 2012 is a perfect year to talk about it because the Tigers and the American League were just on fire. And the Giants won their division, got into the CS against a good Reds team. You get down, you win, you win the elimination games. I mean, maybe that's not the best year. Maybe 2014 is the best year because you win the wild card game. Okay, then maybe 2014 is the best year because you win the wild card game, you go on a run, you get through the DS pretty quickly. I think they got the DS in four games against the Nationals, five games against the Cardinals quickly, and then they do a long seven-game series with the Royals. But it's just about getting hot. My point is here, I know I'm kind of trying to figure it out as we go, but it's about getting hot. It's about getting hot and having it's only a three-man rotation. It's a three-man rotation in the playoffs. That's it. Three, maybe a fourth guy if you need an extra day. That's it. And the Phillies have it. They have a top guy in Nola. They have I mean, the thing is, the one thing the Phillies don't have is a left-handed pitcher. But fortunately for them, all the power in the National League is right-handed. I mean, sorry, in the American League is right-handed. Look at the top home runs right now in the National League. In the American League. The National League, I mean, I think they can get past anyways. They're just, the National League playoffs is going to be, they can get through. They can get through. But look at the home runs in the American League. JD Martinez, right-handed. Jose Ramirez is right-handed. Aaron Judge is right-handed. Mike Trout's right-handed. Jesus Aguilar is right-handed. Nolan Arenado is right-handed. It took me to fifth to Matt Carpenter to find my first lefty. Joey Gallo is also left-handed, but Chris Davis, Lindor is right-handed. Betts is left-handed. Machado's right-handed, and Carson O'Neill's right-handed. So, I mean, amongst the top 15 guys, so if you want to look at the top 15 right now, one, two, three, four. Four of them are left-handed. Four of them are left-handed. So, I mean, yeah, maybe it isn't that big of a deal that you have. I mean, we have teams that have all lefties, like the Red Sox, and we have teams that have all righties, like the Phillies. So, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm still trying to figure out who is the left-handed starter for the Phillies. Nola's right-handed. Eflin's right-handed. Pivetta's right-handed, I think. Velasquez is right-handed. I don't know who their fifth starter is. Oh, Jake Arrieta, right-handed. I'm pretty sure. So I'm pretty sure Nick Pivetta is right-handed. The only one I'm not 100% sure is Pivetta. I'm pretty sure he's right-handed, though. All right, but yeah, nope, it's going to be an interesting thing. I think any teams that can grind through the National League and make it into the playoffs, even a wild card team, can have the ability to make a run, because it's going to take a run. It's going to take a September run. They're going to already have to be hot. You are required to be hot at the end of September to make the playoffs at all in the National League. And then you can just take that heat and run it right into the playoffs. In the American League, they're going to be like twiddling their thumbs in about September 15th, 16th. Oh, we already clinched about a week ago. I mean, it's over. It's over. The Indians are be like, yeah, we clinched. We need another outfield bat. But we're good. We're clinched. Our division sucks. Like, it's not even funny. They're going to get bounced in the first round. They are. The Indians, I'm not confident of them. If anything, I'm confident of is the Red Sox and Astros. I really want a Red Sox Astros ALCS. I think the Yankees are going to get knocked out. They're pitching. I just think we've talked about it a million times in the show. We have. We talked about it. They have Severino, and they have Tanaka, and they have CeCe Sabathia, and they have Sonny Gray. I know. Who is going to be one's going to go? I think you have to get rid of Sonny Gray. It has to be Gray, because Sabathia is left-handed, and he's going to at least throw a little bit of differences in there, because you can't just throw three right-handers up against. Even if you make it to the CS again, I mean, the thing is, I really want the Yankees to lose the division, obviously, win the wild card game, and then have to play the Red Sox in a five game series. But the thing is, we saw the Yankees when I thought, I mean, what was it? I think 2013, 2014, when they went to that, when Raul Labania said all those crazy home runs at the end of the games to beat a good Orioles team. I thought Orioles were just going to kick their butts right there in that series. I mean, it was obviously a short ALDS in that series, but it is what it is. You can't count the Yankees out when they have that little teeny park and they can hit pop-ups for homers, but they have to pitch in it too, and I just don't think they have the pitching to get past the Astros. They don't have the pitching to get past the Red Sox. They had a 3-1 lead against the Astros last year. That was their best chance, I think, and I don't think they're going to get it back, even though they have an improved lineup this year. If they can get Gleyber Torres back healthy, that'd be good, but I think the American League is the Astros and the Red Sox to win this year. They're just both very, very solid teams. The bullpens are the one thing. Bullpen for the Astros is going to be the issue. The Red Sox, seemingly, their bullpen seems okay. The Yankees' bullpen seems okay as well. But the rotations are just so much more superior in Boston and in Houston. And that's really what wins you games, is setting the tone with a good start. All right, let's go to the games on Wednesday and Thursday, as a bunch of teams will be either finishing up series on Wednesday or on Thursday, as we always have, you know, that kind of offset day there. But we'll start off in Seattle, as it'll be day baseball in Seattle today. Giants and Mariners, as It'll be Derek Holland against Mike Leake. Holland back in the rotation now due to another stint on the DL for Jeff Samardzija, as he's been kind of living on that DL this year. And he'll be facing Mike Leake. The Yankees and Rays have actually already started. We actually have how many different games? We have it's 10 a.m. Pacific time, by the way. So, I mean, that's about right. Yeah, we're getting already close. I mean, these games could have started at 12:45 or such. I mean, the Yankees and Rays have already started. The game is 1-0 right now. Padres and Mets have already started. That's 1-0. And then the Dodgers and Phillies have already started. It's 1-1 after one inning there. So Reese Hoskins has already hit a big home run for the Phillies. So that'll be that one. Cardinals and Reds have already started. It's 2-0 Reds already. They scored two in the first inning. Indians and Pirates are just about to get started. It'll be Trevor Bauer for the Indians against, where is my starter for the Pirates here? It'll be Jameson Taillon for the Pirates today. In Milwaukee, the Brewers, the Nationals, Tanner Roark against Willy Peralta as they get a series start. They get their series finished up in Milwaukee there. The Nationals looking to salvage a game in that series. Of course, I mean, the Brewers, they needed to get some wins. They obviously, going into the All-Star break the way they did, was not the way they wanted to. So it'll be Peralta for that one. In Kansas City, Matthew Boyd against Danny Duffy, Tigers and Royals. In Chicago, Robbie Ray against John Lester, D-backs and Cubs. Cubs look to get a win there badly. In Toronto, it'll be the Twins and the Blue Jays again. Irvin Santana against Sam Gavigolo. I just wanted to get that one right again for them. In Baltimore, David Price against Dylan Bundy. That'll be a good little matchup there in Baltimore Red Sox and Orioles. In Arlington, the Rangers and the A's go again. Edwin Jackson against for the Rays. They're going to put out Perez, the left-hander for them. I don't want to get his first name wrong. Martin Perez for the Rangers. In Colorado, it'll be the Rockies and Astros again. Charlie Morton against John Gray. And then in Anaheim, there we go. In Anaheim, it'll be James Shields against Tyler Skaggs, White Sox, and Angels. So, I mean, Skaggs, he's got to set the tone. I mean, you can't just do it with one guy, though. He's 7-6. He's 7-6 with a 2.68 ERA. I mean, that's almost like a Noah Syndergaard. I'm sorry, that's almost like a Jacob deGrom line right there. He's got a great ERA and a crummy record, an average record at best, 7-6. 7-6, really? He's lost six games with that ERA? It means you're not scoring many runs for him at all. And then on Thursday, the Giants will get a series started at home against the Brewers as it'll be Wade Miley against Derek Rodriguez with the Giants. He'll get going again as he's starting to make a campaign a little bit. I know there's other guys in the National League who want this as well, but National League Rookie of the Year is up for grabs, and Derek Rodriguez is trying to grab it. The kid's 5-1 with a 2.72 ERA. I mean, the kid's been pitching good, really, really good. 5-1 with a 2.72. Wow. I knew that already. I'm a Giants fan. In Chicago, it'll be the Diamondbacks and the Cubs again. Zach Godley against Tyler Chatwood. In L.A., it'll be the White Sox and Angels again. Dylan Covey against Nick Tropiano. I think I got that one right. For the White Sox. Yeah, I actually guessed that correctly. In New York, it'll be the Royals and the Dylan Covey's his name. I wasn't 100% sure, but I was pretty sure. Royals and Yankees again from New York. It'll be Jacob Junis against Sonny Gray as the Yankees come home to face the Royals. In Pittsburgh, it'll be the Mets and the Pirates getting a series started. Steven Matz against Nick Kingham. In Baltimore, the Rays and Orioles both have not announced a starter yet for Thursday. The Red Sox and Twins have both not announced a starter yet for Thursday either. So a little unknown there. We'll figure it out. Oh, wait, hold on. We'll figure it out as we go along here, of course. In Cincinnati, it'll be the Phillies and the Reds getting a series started. It'll be for the Phillies. They're actually going to throw out a young left-hander. So look at a left-hander, Ranger Suarez. As he's making his MLB debut. So look at that, left-hander for the Phillies making a start. He'll face Tyler Molly. He's 7-8 with a 4.32 ERA in the year for the Reds. In Marlins Park down in Miami, the Nationals come to town. It'll be Steven Strasburg against Dan Straley. In Atlanta, it'll be the Dodgers against the Braves, Rich Hill against Anibal Sanchez. And then in Texas, the Rangers and A's actually play a fourth game in that series. It'll be Trevor Cahill against Bartolo Colon. All right. I'll wrap it up for the games and wrap it up for the show today, as we will come back on Friday to cover those games for you that we just previewed, and of course to give you some talk, of course, on my thoughts on how everything's going in the major leagues. I mean, it's really interesting the disparity we're seeing between the two leagues. The National League is just a grindhouse, get to the playoffs the best you can. The American League is pretty much already decided, except for the A's and Mariners are going to have a little battle throughout the end of the season. So, but other than that, I mean, that's pretty much it. Yankees and Red Sox are still going to be battling for the AL East. So we'll have some good head-to-head matchups for them, today. But, as far as it goes, everybody, by the way, if you're Giants fans and you're listening to this before 1 o'clock, or if you're listening to it at 1 o'clock and you can't find the Giants and Mariners game today, it is at, or Mariners fans too, of course, can't leave you guys out. Love the Mariners fans. They're a good fan base up there in Seattle. But they that game will be on Facebook Live today, so make sure you go tune into that on Facebook.com. You go find your MLB streaming, or I think MLB Live is what the page is, to find that link. All right, everybody have a good middle of your week. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.